Cambridge English, Advanced 3, Tests 1 to 4. Published by Cambridge University Press and Uccles, 2018. This recording is copyright. CD 1. This is the Cambridge English Advanced Listening Test, Test 1. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There'll now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You'll hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B, or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear two friends discussing an exhibition they've just visited, featuring a female sculptor called Sue Lin. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
Sue Lin's work had obviously been displayed with the aim of bringing out the groundbreaking nature of her achievements. The thing was, she began to look less like a pioneer than a disciple of everyone around her. Surrounded as she was by the work of her fellow artists, to me, her carvings recalled the aesthetics of other sculptors too, although more as a passing tribute to them than deliberate copying. And she'd created all those sculptures in the open air, surrounded by the wild landscape of the coast, so I do wonder if something was lost by transposing them into the confines of a gallery.
There was more of other sculptors' work included than I'd anticipated, given the exhibition was advertised as her work. I'd never really seen the work of all these artists exhibited side by side before, even though I've been an avid follower of their careers. Seeing what Sue's contemporaries were up to was enlightening for me, and in fact the work I instinctively gravitated to was actually not hers, but another artist's, which put her work in the shade a bit for me. His animal figures were captivating.
Interesting. Sue Lin's work had obviously been displayed with the aim of bringing out the groundbreaking nature of her achievements. The thing was, she began to look less like a pioneer than a disciple of everyone around her. Surrounded as she was by the work of her fellow artists, to me, her carvings recalled the aesthetics of other sculptors too, although more as a passing tribute to them than deliberate copying. And she'd created all those sculptures in the open air, surrounded by the wild landscape of the coast, so I do wonder if something was lost by transposing them into the confines of a gallery.
There was more of other sculptors' work included than I'd anticipated, given the exhibition was advertised as her work. I'd never really seen the work of all these artists exhibited side by side before, even though I've been an avid follower of their careers. Seeing what Sue's contemporaries were up to was enlightening for me, and in fact the work I instinctively gravitated to was actually not hers, but another artist's, which put her work in the shade a bit for me. His animal figures were captivating.
Interesting.
Extract 2. You hear part of a discussion between two psychology students on the subject of laughter. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
It's strange that more research is done into negative emotions than into laughter. Maybe researchers expect to learn more about people that way. Plus, some academics think laughter isn't a heavyweight enough topic for research.
Yet it's actually a rather fruitful area, as laughter is essentially social. People laugh more in a group than on their own. Maybe that's why warm-up comedians appear before a live TV show is recorded. It's easier to make an audience laugh later on if they've already laughed together.
Research also shows that physical environment plays a part. People laugh more easily if they're crowded together in rows. Apparently, sitting around tables shifts people's attention away from the person on stage. It tells us a lot about interaction. But there again, in one experiment, a joke that made one group laugh left another cold, although they were in the same room.
The areas of the brain responsible for basic behaviour like reflex actions and breathing also control laughing. Other brain functions are situated in different areas. Perhaps because laughter is a basic behaviour, that's why once a laugh has been triggered, it can't be stopped.
It's strange that more research is done into negative emotions than into laughter. Maybe researchers expect to learn more about people that way. Plus, some academics think laughter isn't a heavyweight enough topic for research.
Yet it's actually a rather fruitful area, as laughter is essentially social. People laugh more in a group than on their own. Maybe that's why warm-up comedians appear before a live TV show is recorded. It's easier to make an audience laugh later on if they've already laughed together.
Research also shows that physical environment plays a part. People laugh more easily if they're crowded together in rows. Apparently, sitting around tables shifts people's attention away from the person on stage. It tells us a lot about interaction. But there again, in one experiment, a joke that made one group laugh left another cold, although they were in the same room.
The areas of the brain responsible for basic behaviour like reflex actions and breathing also control laughing. Other brain functions are situated in different areas. Perhaps because laughter is a basic behaviour, that's why once a laugh has been triggered, it can't be stopped.
Extract 3. You hear two friends discussing their experiences of learning to play the piano. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
Hey, Jan, how are the piano lessons going?
Oh, early days yet, really. Just 10 months. I wonder sometimes how I've stuck at it this far, to be honest. But it's never felt boring, and I'd been warned even before starting that progress wouldn't happen overnight. I do find my early pieces quite simple now, though, and I'm taking the later, harder stuff in my stride, something which has spilt over into everyday life. Things that seemed insurmountable don't anymore. There's a heavy memory load, isn't there? Especially initially when you're consciously thinking of every note. But I'm playing more naturally now, which is a real breakthrough.
Great. You might find other things kicking in too. Well, according to the latest research, that is. Daily practice is meant to lower heart rate and blood pressure, making you more relaxed, as well as encouraging innovation and lateral ways of thinking. The health claims don't seem to be borne out by my experience. I get pretty anxious when learning something new. I'm so aware of my errors. Studies also say learning an instrument makes you smarter. Applying the theory uses similar processing skills to maths, I reckon. Though, judging from your expression, I clearly haven't convinced you of the link. Hey, Jan, how are the piano lessons going?
Oh, early days yet, really. Just 10 months. I wonder sometimes how I've stuck at it this far, to be honest. But it's never felt boring, and I'd been warned even before starting that progress wouldn't happen overnight. I do find my early pieces quite simple now, though, and I'm taking the later, harder stuff in my stride, something which has spilt over into everyday life. Things that seemed insurmountable don't anymore. There's a heavy memory load, isn't there? Especially initially when you're consciously thinking of every note. But I'm playing more naturally now, which is a real breakthrough.
Great. You might find other things kicking in too. Well, according to the latest research, that is. Daily practice is meant to lower heart rate and blood pressure, making you more relaxed, as well as encouraging innovation and lateral ways of thinking. The health claims don't seem to be borne out by my experience. I get pretty anxious when learning something new. I'm so aware of my errors. Studies also say learning an instrument makes you smarter. Applying the theory uses similar processing skills to maths, I reckon. Though, judging from your expression, I clearly haven't convinced you of the link.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two.